Let's look at Psalm 46, 1 through 3. Let me read it to you. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles, the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil. Our God is strong. We're going to pray together, okay? So I'm going to facilitate that. Let's bow before the Father. Will you do that with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. Let him hear from you. Then may our prayer move to being grateful and thankful who the Lord is, what he reveals to us, the next steps he gives us in leading us through. Give thanks. We want to give you a moment in your praying to pray for people who overlap into your life, something physical, a sickness or disease, or just something physical, period. It could be people who are needing godly relationships, seeking spiritual direction, financial reasons, you're praying for them. Just carrying a lot of emotional weight. There are many reasons why you pray for people, but those who overlap into your life, take a moment, lift them up in prayer. Then I want you to stop and let's pray for the nations today. We're always told to do that. Just a few that we could enumerate all of them. And God has moved in biblical history. He has swept nations before. He can do that again. So I want you to pray for Russia, Ukraine, all that's happening there. We pray for their peace, the ending of that war, and the relief effort that is there, the resourcing of all that, the gospel being presented to those who are victims of that war. For Israel, Hamas, Gaza, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God says for those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem, he said, they find favor with him. There's a country that we, along with lots and lots of other people and churches, but that we support and help support, and that's Haiti. Haiti's been on my mind a lot. Just a lot of gang rule, a lot of lawlessness. We just pray for order to come and godly order to come and peace to that nation. And then you probably know where I'm going next, don't you? Let's pray for our nation. That our hearts would come back to him again. Pray for that. That our hearts return to him again. We pray for those last night who were victims of the shooting, those who are recovering, the families of those who lost loved ones, that lives and families will be forever changed there. We pray for our former President Trump and his recovery. We pray for our current President Biden, that God, did you give him wisdom, give his staff wisdom, godly wisdom, Holy Spirit-driven wisdom. Lord, you take the things of this world and you use them for your good and your glory. And I just pray that even through what happened yesterday and yesterday evening, that our hearts will begin to turn back to you. Locally, we pray for our governor, his administration. Godly wisdom, Holy Spirit-driven wisdom. not legal or law wisdom, godly wisdom, Holy Spirit driven wisdom. We pray that for our Congress in Washington, the House and the Senate. We pray for our Congress here, our House and our Senate. Give these people godly wisdom, Holy Spirit driven wisdom. Change our hearts, O God. Change our hearts. Father, we brought an offering today. We ask that you bless that. You use that. You resource us to resource others. But Lord, we brought our lives today too as a living offering to you for you to be able to use. And then I ask you to pray for those around you today that are close by, left and right, before you and behind you. Even if you don't know them, pray a blessing over them. And wherever your family may be today, would you take a moment and pray a blessing over them? Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or a situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me different. It's not that I'm more special, it's just that you're more strict on me than you are anybody in this room. You hold me to a higher standard in dividing and presenting your word. I'm under a great and a more strict judgment than anybody, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. You may be seated. It's good to see you. Thank you for being with us today. I'm still focusing on God's strength, and we'll be doing that probably on and up to Labor Day. I just want to remind you, some you may be hearing for the first time, but today I'm sure most of it is just a reminder of how strong our God actually is and the confidence that you can have in him. The Lord is strong and he says he will strengthen us. If I was raised in the church, as some of them say, I'm a prenatal Baptist. I was going to church 9 months before I was even born, you know. So I've gone to church all my life, and especially when I started dating and married Julie, and I brag on her, she won't like this, but she's classically trained, voice trained, and many of you know that about Julie and her ability to be able to sing. And I'm saying this because this psalm and these verses were the inspiration for Martin Luther to write the hymn, the great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I brought Julie into the content of this, but because of her, I grew up in an old country church, and we sang by letter. And if you're wondering what that is you just open her up and let her fly. That's how we sang. But I can't envision, because of her influence in my life, a mass choir with an orchestra really, really singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, being birthed and inspired out of the verses that we're handling today. So let's look at verse 1 for just a moment, and I'm going to go through three things today, and I want to begin them where it says God is. And it's talking about, even in a present tense, God is. Number one, he is our refuge. He's our hiding place. He's our shelter. He's where we go. I heard a man say over the last few weeks, he said, where you go determines who you are. And you need to think about that. Where do I run? Where do I go when there are times of trouble, distress, anxiety? Where do I go when my heart is full of thanks? And just blessing. Where do I go? Where you go can determine who you are. Look at Psalm 91:2. The psalmist writes in Psalm 91:2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God. And look at that last line, in whom I have trust, in whom I have great confidence. Psalm 61:3, It says, "For you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower, even when I am faced by my enemies." I agree with the psalmist. I amen everything. And we're going to predominantly be in the Psalms today, all but one other verse. But I just want you to know, with he being a shelter and a fortress and a refuge and a hiding place for us, it's just like, for me, it's this great, big, wonderful sigh when I'm in his presence. You know, Moses said about the presence of the Lord was so strong for him that he said, "Lord, I don't want to go from here to there without your presence being with me. That I want your presence there with me." And here's the beauty of that. His presence is with us. In the 23rd Psalm, you and I know that this same psalmist wrote about the Lord being a shepherd to him, and he uses the personal pronoun. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to notice in this verse, and if we go back to verse 1, 46:1, he says in here that God is our refuge. He includes all of us in this. Where do you run? He should be, and forevermore should be, our very first response. When I get good news, I want to go to him with thanks. And when I get bad news, I want to go for him. I want to go to him in times of trouble. Where you go can determine who you actually are. That I have confidence that God is going to respond. It will be his way. I get that. I expect that. But God will respond. The second God is, it says God is, the first one is God is our refuge. The second one is God is our strength. He is my confidence. When we are afraid, he is our confidence in whom we trust. I'm not afraid to go to him because I have confidence in him. Please be reminded that it's not God plus anything, it's just God. Please be reminded today that God doesn't have to go outside of himself to add to his strength and power. He is strength and power that is there. He is strong. God is our refuge and God is our strength. And then the next one, the third one, says God is our or a helper to us. He's available. God has made himself available. I remember many years ago, Bette Midler came out with a song, how God is watching us, but it's from a distance. And I remember people grabbed onto that song just because it was secular and had the word God in it. The theology of that song is ridiculous. Because he's not from a distance with us. The Old Testament said he came and tabernacled himself with us. He came and put his tent up with us. And he drove the stakes really, really deep. You know, I said not too long ago in a sermon, I said an atheist thinks there is no God. An agnostic believes that there is a God, possibly. And if he were true, you couldn't have a relationship. And you and I who believe just call him Dad. We know that he's there. And he is strong and he is our helper. He's available and he's made himself available. The word there, helper, means he stands ready. And you and I may have learned this verse in a way that says he is ever present. He is ever present to become our helper or to give us help. He's waiting for me and you to say, "Okay, God, what are your next steps for my life?" And we will find him overflowing and exceedingly leading us in our next steps for our life. He is enough for us. Remember, it's not God plus anything. Look at Psalm 102:25 for just a moment. It says, "Long ago you established the earth and the heavens are the work of your hands." And we're talking about creation, verse 26, "All this creation, they will perish, but you will endure. All of them will wear out like clothing," meaning this earth that we know and everything about it will wear out like our clothes wear out. You will change ye will change it all like garment, like clothes are being changed, and they will pass away. But you, God, you are the same, and your years will never, ever end. We see the beauty of that. Look at Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is so ever, ever near. He is ready, made himself accessible to us, and he's ever present in times of trouble. We can always find the Lord when we're distressed or when we have anxiety. I remember when we got word of the pandemic, you know, was coming on in March of 2020. And I was like you, all of us. We had these question marks in our life, like what in the world is going to happen? In fact, now we refer to those years as the pandemic, meaning it just changed and disrupted everything in our life. And we had this enemy that was invisible that we really couldn't see unless you had the technology to be able to do that. I remember that I would come up here and things were shutting down. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about churches. I'm thinking about kingdom life. I'm just thinking about your jobs. I'm thinking about what the future would be for all of us. And we had the cross that's over there. And don't think that we've pushed it off to the side for any kind of symbolism. But we had the cross here. And I would bring my dog Solo up here. She would lay at the foot of the cross, which is probably where I should have been, but I sat in a chair in front of the cross, and I would pray. I was afraid. I was afraid for a lot of things, life as I knew it. I wanted to go back to that. It's the end of the world as you know it, you know? Sorry about that. That's my Spotify and iTunes going on in there. I mean, Heather got the saying. You all like that. I mean, you know, so, and so did I, by the way. But I was afraid, you know. Where do you go? You go to him. You go to him, and we can say that he's led us through, and he has. But in that process, I've had some really close friends pass away, and some of them are pastors. You know, you and I can look back and go, in March 2020, we didn't know what the future was going to hold. And now seemingly that we're out of the pandemic, we're like, we have a more understanding of the future. Can I let you in on a little secret? You still don't know the future. You don't know any more about the future than you did March of 2020. And if I'm going to be really honest with you, I think we're drifting. I think just even evidence of last night, we're drifting. You would think the pandemic would have brought us back into a relationship with our God. And it seems like now that we've got the all clear sign, and I know it's still out there and people get hugely sick from COVID. I get that. But it's like we've had this release, and I'm thinking, well, man, there would still be this pattern or foundation of when we have come back to God. And it seems like we're drifting further out of the pandemic from God than we are drawing closer to him. And I think we're beginning to see evidence of that all along. And the pandemic brought fear. Where do we go? Well, we have God to go to, and he's ready, and he's made himself available for us to be able to find him. Seek the Lord while he can be found. Call to him while he is near. The words of Moses, I don't want to go from here to there, Lord, without your presence in my life. It means more to me than anything in the world. If you'll notice in verses 2 and 3, I feel like a Pentecostal preacher, like I hadn't even breathed since I started. Come on. I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Please don't. Oh, help me. Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3. In Psalm 46, 2 and 3, he says, therefore we will not be afraid. That's really attached to verse 1. We'll not be afraid because our God has positioned himself for our next steps, for us to cry to him for help. He's ever present. He's our refuge, our strength, and he is our helper. So the psalmist goes, because of that, we're not afraid. And then he moves into creation, talking about the earth and the mountains and the seas. He starts talking about for that just a moment. And there's a reason why I believe he does that, because we see creation as being hugely powerful. In other words, we can see the majesty of the mountains and think how indestructible they are. We can see the movement of water and think, man, how we're not able to really control that. And it just seems like it has all this power, that the earth and the mountains and the waters have all this power. But what the psalmist wants you to know is, as powerful as creation is, and it has power, and God made it, but he's saying, I'm more powerful than that. That's the point he really wants you to get across. Like, I just tapped into some historical things. Like, many of you won't remember Mount St. Helens in 1980, but I do. Some of you will. And so when Mount St. Helens erupted with all that volcanic activity and that huge mountain erupting, all the information that we have today is that it was 1,600 times more energy in the eruption of that mountain than in the atomic bomb at Hiroshima or Hiroshima, whichever way you pronounce it. It was throwing rocks, not the kind of rocks you and I skip across a pond. It was throwing slabs, big slabs of rocks that were being as projectiles at 400 and 500 mile an hour, slabs. It said that the ash, the cloud that happened was, that the ash cloud was three times the size of Mount Everest. And we know it fell over states, if you remember that. The timber that was leveled was 4 billion board feet of timber. If you had that kind of timber and made wood out of it to build a home, it would have built 300,000 two-bedroom homes. It's incredible. Some of us remember the tsunami of 2004. It took the lives of 250,000 people, over 230,000 people. The waves from that shift and that earthquake under the water, the waves were moving at 500 miles per hour. It said there was so much earth plate shift and such a transition of water that it shifted our planet in its rotation path. It was so massive. We live in Kentucky. We know that the New Madrid Fault is in western Kentucky. And you and I would see it as extreme western Kentucky, Fulton in that area. There was an earthquake, 1811, December. It started shaking and then it increased in February of 1812. And it said the earthquake was so violent that the Mississippi River ran backwards for over 7 hours. Backwards. And many of you all have been to Real Foot Lake for one reason or another. And it was created out of that earthquake. It's the talk about the New Madrid Fault is not as much in the past as it is in the future. The question is not if the New Madrid Fault is going to shift, it's when it's going to shift. And all the projections are that it's going to level Memphis, St. Louis, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Evansville, Indiana. If you wonder why major, major businesses may not go past Elizabethtown, I mean, I'm talking about the strategy of that. It's because of the possibility of when the New Madrid Fault is going to quake. Our state, and some of you are military, and you know what I'm talking about. Our state realizes that when this happens, you will not be able to travel past Elizabethtown, Kentucky. You will not be able because of bridges and roads and the disruption of rivers and everything else, you will not be able to get to Western Kentucky. And you're going, well, why are you giving us all this? I mean, do I look like I'm a professor of geology up here? I don't think so. And I'm losing my voice, so, but that doesn't mean anything, okay? But I wanted you to see the power of creation so that you understand the power of creation. Our God is that much more powerful. He made this and he gave it power, but he's more powerful than anything I just described to you. And I know these are just a few things of what we could describe. The earth topples. We just read in scripture where one day this earth is going to vanish. It's going to happen. Scripture says it's going to be destroyed. And John saw the revelation of God that one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Peter talks about how it's going to be burnt up and the bodies in our solar system are absolutely going to turn like blood. It's got a death sentence on it. And our earth is toppling. It can topple. Our mountains can topple. And our seas are chaotic. But our God isn't. He's not going to topple. He's not chaotic. Let's be honest. The world in any sense is uncertain and fragile. And I didn't write this sermon after last night. I wrote this sermon before last night. Even its philosophies are fragile. And scripture teaches us that the world is collapsing around us. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I'm not getting into political strategies about climate change. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying scripture says one day it's going to be destroyed. It's going to happen. So creation is going to fail and fall, but God never will. God has the power over any chaos. He has the power over any earthly power, and he gave creation power. But he's over every bit of it. Our God is strong. And you gotta go to him. You got a heart full of thanks. You go to the Lord with that. You got a heart full of praise, you go to the Lord with that. You got a heart that is troubled and a life that is troubled, you go to the Lord with that. Whatever is going on, he should be our first response. Remember, where you go can determine who you are. God, forgive us that we think we have more power than you. We all need to pray that one. I could gather up the creativity and the intellect and even the finances of this room, and we could do something and God absolutely not be in it. But forgive us for thinking that we have the power to do what he can't, or that we have more power than he does. Forgive us, God, of drifting, of thinking I've created my life. I have built my life. Don't forget, in Tiny Town back there, we've got a fence post with a turtle on it. It all comes from our saying, if you see a turtle on a fence post, just remember he didn't get there by himself. Forgive us, God, for thinking that we have built our lives. Only by the grace of God. God has power over chaos, and he has power over earthly powers. I wanted to remind you today of how powerful he actually is. Even though mountains, the earth, and not only the mountains and the earth, but the chaos and the power of the water, it shows power. But it says that our God is more powerful. Here's a question I have for you today in present tense. What do you need to bring to him today? Is it a heart full of thanks? Is it a heart full of praise? It may even be a heart full of questions. It doesn't matter. He's ready and he's ever present to help you. God is our refuge. God is our strength, and God is our very present help in time of trouble. And let's go to Him, okay? Last night, when you heard the news, I was out of town, and I called, and Julie told me about it. It's where did I go with all that? I went to the Lord. Or do we immediately we could jump into rhetoric and conspiracy ideas and blame here and blame there, and all that blame game's been going on since Adam and Eve. Don't think you started it. It just came to you, all right? But it's where do we go? My life verse is 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are looking all over the land, to and fro, over all the earth." And what is He looking for? He's looking for a heart that is faithful and loyal. It says a heart, He can show Himself strong in that heart. May He find us. When He looks at us when we live and work and play, may He find a faithful heart. And after last night, when you go into this world, you be a peacemaker. Do you hear me? Don't get caught up into everything else. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become the sons and the daughters of God. In your common everyday conversations, let God use you to be a peacemaker. Will you remind people, as you have spiritual conversations, you need to take that to the Lord. He is ever present, and He is ready to help you in times of trouble. You may say, "Jeff, where do you have your confidence?" My confidence doesn't come out of me being a preacher or being a preacher's kid or having a son that's a third generation pastor. My confidence is that I've had things in my life that I couldn't handle, and I would learn to go to Him, and my confidence is in Him. My confidence is in Him today because of what He's done in my past. And my confidence will be in Him tomorrow because of what He's done with me today. I and we will trust in the Lord. Some may trust in horses and some may trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We trust in Him. I have confidence because of who He is and what He has done in my life and what I've seen Him do in yours, and have that same confidence. Pray that God would sweep our nation. It's not an election we need. It's a surrender that we need. And pray that we surrender. Our nation would bow to Him again. I pray that. I'm not apologizing. I know what time it is. It's time for the invitation. You come. Our counselors will be here. Our team is going to lead us. You may want to come and pray. You come and pray. You can pray with them. You can bypass our counselors, whatever. You come and pray. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Team's going to lead us. Counselors, may you find your place. Come.